The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 142 of the Extra Mile Podcast. How is everybody? I'm out today, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, and because I forget, or because I will forget, and trust me, I will, I'd like to wish everyone, at least in the United States, very happy Thanksgiving. And lest any of you think you don't have anything to be thankful for, let me begin. Somewhere at the top of the list, probably behind your family, possibly God, how about your running? Some of us take that far too much for granted. And I would point you to a submission we've got today from my buddy Mark Sands and pay particular attention to what he has to say, keeping in mind that it's 2 days before Thanksgiving. The weather, although glorious right now, it's about 42, I think. Sunny. It is certainly showing signs of becoming old man winter rather quickly, at least here in the Midwest. It was about 22 degrees the last couple mornings. But at least it warms up to a very comfortable mid to high 40s this time of year, but that's not going to last. My training's going pretty well. I'm less than 3 weeks out from heading to Atlanta for the Jeff Galloway 13.1. And I said this in one of my Kevin Unplugs this week. I'm not adhering to the Jeff Galloway training program 100%. I've had many discussions with runners over the years who claim their training with the Jeff Galloway training method, only to find out that they're really not. They're training with 75%, 80%, maybe 90%. But in my view, unless you follow that program to the letter of the law, then you can't say you're really, really following it. And the parts that I'm not doing, I've not done a magic mile. So I admit to that. I've not done one magic mile in this, 10, 12 week cycle so far. As well, my long run is right around 12 miles. Done a few 10s, So I feel like I've built up my long run to the point, you know, I can jump from 11 to 12, to 13, but Jeff's real plan calls for a 14-mile run before the half. And that's even for those of you who just are running to finish, which I am, by the way. Now, it doesn't concern me too much. I've been running a long time and pretty much know what I can get away with. It's pretty much exactly what I did last year for that race. A few tens, a 11 point something, 11 and a half, 12 miler. And then I went out and ran somewhere around a 12 minute pace, 2:35 or something like that. I do remember it was just a couple seconds under 12 minute pace. So I'm okay with that. I don't think I'd ever try this again. Skimping, I mean, if I ever get that marathon bug again, but I don't want to say it's only a half, but a half is quite different from a full, huh? So, it's been a while. So, as you can imagine, I've got quite a bit of good stuff. Lots of training reports and amazing amount of marathon reports. Must be marathon season, huh? The theme that runs through today's show, at least from my perspective, is how inspiring every one of you is with finishing your training through any sort of setbacks that come along. Good on you, and thank you for sharing. Let's get to that good stuff, and got some stuff to talk about at the end. So check it out, and y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Before we're served, shouldn't we say grace?
In the year 1621, the pilgrims held their first Thanksgiving feast. They invited the great Indian chief, Massasoit, who brought 90 of his brave Indians and a great abundance of food. Governor William Bradford and Captain Miles Standish were honored guests. Elder William Brewster, who was a minister, said a prayer that went something like this. We thank God for our homes and our food and our safety in a new land. We thank God for the opportunity to create a new world with freedom and justice.
Amen.
All right, Kev, this is Chris. It's that time of year. You know what time of year it is? Ice, ice, baby. Oh, that's cold. You guys may remember that I'm a big proponent of the ice bath after a long run. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. So this is the only time I actually talk to any deities. Oh, it's not so bad. It's harder this time of year because if you can make it past the first, 20 seconds, it's actually much, it's okay. You numb out. It's like everything else in life. It just takes a little perseverance. But yeah, I'm a big proponent of the ice bath. I know there's no, I don't know if there's any science behind it or not, but I find that it really sort of helps with your recovery. I feel like it takes some time off your recovery. Oop, that's my stomach growling. So let me get you up to date. It's been a while. I'm sitting here in my ice bath. Just got back from a 15-mile run. Felt great, you know? Kicked it in. It was a good run. So I'm doing really well. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know, you know, with all the sort of trials and tribulations I've been through, I didn't know if I was going to be able to spin up a training campaign or not, but looks like it's going pretty well. But anyhow, so I don't know when the last time we talked was. My target race was the end of August this summer. I kind of took the summer off, did some swimming, some biking. I did a triathlon in July, an Olympic try, which was a blast. I really enjoyed the swimming part of it. I finally figured out how to swim. It only took me about 10 years to crack that nut, but just sort of took some time off. Wasn't training for anything super, super long or hard because I had my, if you remember, I had my my heart work done, my pump work done in the end of June. And so they went in and did a cryoablation on my heart to get rid of some exercise-induced AFib that I gave myself, probably by running a marathon a month in 2013, 2014. I probably did that to myself. But anyhow, that was keeping me from training hard over the last couple of years, or at least the last year. And so after Boston, I went in and got that fixed. And then I did that triathlon, went in for, and then I also got invited to the Hood to Coast Relay out in Oregon, and I won't give you the whole race report, that's on my podcast if anybody wants to go listen to it, but, because, you know, I'm not one of those guys who gives the same race report twice. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. So we flew into South Dakota, and we drove west across the Continental Divide, my wife and I, to Portland, and then I ran the Hood Coast Relay. Ended up being doing it as an ultra team. Ended up pulling a muscle in my calf in the first leg and having to tape it up and tough it out, and ended up having a typhoon at the end. It was 70-mile-an-hour headwinds and pouring rain, and so it ended up being a lot of fun, kind of one of those things I like. But I was off my feet for a week or so, and then I got my, I went back for my 90-day with the heart guy, and he said, you're good to go. So I cautiously dropped myself into a hard marathon training cycle. You know how I am. I'm not a Galloway guy. I'm an all-out guy. And so I'm up, I've got it spun up to mid-40s and miles per week. I'm getting out, you know, 5 days a week with an extra bike ride on one of the days, and then one rest day. This week was a little off because I actually went in and got a colonoscopy on Thursday, so I had to miss my Thursday workout because I was laid up, so to speak. And so, yeah, doing great. Got my ice bath on. So that's 4 minutes, and that's 5 minutes of Chris goodness for you guys. Hope you didn't miss me. I'll be back. All right. Cheers.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is David from Southeastern Massachusetts calling with a training report. I just finished listening to episode 141. Thank you, Kevin, for putting that out. Appreciate it. Glad to hear updates from many of the usual crew, and glad to hear everybody or many people are out in race season and getting their races in. This is a training report because I have officially started my taper. I have wrapped up the hardest part, the bulk of my training for my marathon, which will come on November 1st. So if those of you who want to send positive vibes my way, hoping this hits the airwaves before November 1st, and if it doesn't, you'll get a race report soon thereafter. But anyway, my training went, I think, really well. Actually, I know it went really well because I'm not injured. I feel great. And over the last 3 weeks, I hit PRs for total mileage of 51, 53, and 57 miles in those 3 weeks. My previous high in a previous training cycle was just 40, not just, my previous high was 46 miles. And that difference between 46 miles and 57 miles is really substantial. But the good news is I came out of that, and I finished off that bulk training week, my longest training week, with an actual 26.2-mile training run on my anticipated race course. So I really got to see the whole course. It's very local. The course in its closest point is about 4 miles from my house. So I was able to do lots of long runs on the course. I got to run the last 10 miles of the course over and over. I can visualize it. I can see it. I am very excited about that. But one other thing, I was thinking about this training cycle, and I've only been running marathons for the last 4 years and really listening to podcasts for about that same amount of time, that in my training cycles, I've really come to think of them as running with different groups of people. So my very first training cycle back in 2012, that's when I was introduced to Steve Runner and Fitipidations, and that was totally a Steve Runner training cycle. All my long runs and lots of other runs, I listened to Fitipidations and, you know, just burned through his backlog of excellent podcasts. And then my next couple training cycles, I caught up with Spikes 2.0 with Peter Herridge. Oh, hello, neighbor dog. Spikes 2.0. Then I ran into the Dirt Dog 50K. And then the Seeker with Jim from South Central. And those guys really helped me through my next couple of training cycles where, you know, lots of long runs, lots of snowy winter evenings going out for a run. And those were the folks who were out there with me for all my runs. Because my canine, who's out with me right now on a cool down walk, besides my canine, I mostly run by myself. But this summer and this training cycle has been very much about you guys, the Extra Mile, and Run, Run, Live with Chris Russell. You know, it's just a sequence of when you discover a podcast, but both of those have been my key go-to podcasts, my go-to running partners for this last training cycle. So a big thank you to you all. I appreciate your support. Even though you didn't even know you were doing it, you're just there along for the ride while I was doing my training cycle. And I am happy to report that I'm in my taper. This is Dave from Southeastern Mass, and I will absolutely touch base after I finish my marathon. Run well. Have fun.
Hey, Kevin and Extra Milers. This is Tricia from St. Louis, and I thought I had better call in with my race report for the Chicago Marathon before it completely, all the details fly out of my mind. By way of background, this is the second of three marathons I'm doing with the Galloway Twigs customized program. Chris Twigs has designed this program for me, and I'm loving it. And so Chicago was number two. You may recall I did a 95-degree marathon a month ago. I'll preface this race recap by saying, you know, life happens, and it sure happened to me a week before this marathon. My dad actually collapsed of cardiac arrest. He was revived. He got to the hospital, but upon arriving there, they basically said that he was going to need a quadruple bypass and ablation surgery. So needless to say, this race became very quickly not a high priority for me. It was in the back of my mind, but I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to run it. So long story short, Dad did well through the surgery, had about a week of recovery or so. And once I knew he was stable and had lots and lots of my family around with him, I proceeded to leave for Chicago. And we were staying at the Congress Plaza Hotel across from Grants Park, great location. It was right by the Start Corrals and by the Balboa Hospitality Tent, which I had a ticket for. The expo, I'll kind of start there, expo was huge. I felt like it was pretty well organized. We did have about a 30 to 40 minute wait or so at the Hilton, which was near our hotel, to pick up the shuttle to the expo, but the lines moved pretty quickly. Once we got there, it was just a matter of kind of trying to figure out the packet pickup scenario and getting around to some of the other places where I needed to pick up my hospitality ticket. But I could see very easily you could just literally be on your feet for 3 hours or more in that place because there was just so much to see and do. I wish we had taken of it in a way, but as it turns out later, we actually were meeting some friends of another podcast I listened to called The Running Lifestyle Show. We were meeting them at a tavern that was probably about a 15-20 minute walk away from the convention center. So I thought we would try to catch a cab. Well, that didn't happen. Yeah, if you ever are at the McCormick Center, do not expect to catch a cab anywhere unless you're willing to wait about an hour and a half for one. So it was pretty easy to see we were going to be on our feet a lot more than I really would have liked that day. So, but we had a fantastic time at the tavern with some new friends that I met, which was a lot of fun, and my husband and son were there with me. let's see. So let's flash forward to race morning. You know, I did my normal Clif Bars, had a cup of coffee, and really just had no idea how long it was going to kind of take me to go through security clearance. So I allowed tons and tons of extra time. And as it turns out, if you use the hospitality tent, it really expedites your security significantly. I would say that's probably a huge benefit because anywhere you go, there's no lines. They had a huge breakfast there, which I didn't even look at or touch because nothing new on race day, right? No lines for the porta potties, and they literally escort you down to the corrals when it's your time, and they give you warnings. We got to hear Joan Benoit speak, so it was well worth the price of the ticket, in my opinion. My strategy for this race, Chris Twigg said, you know, he felt like 40-20s or 30-30s were easily within my reach. I can tell you 20-20s are probably more my comfort zone for super, super long runs. But really, Chicago is very conducive to the 40-20s because it is pretty hard to stop when you're in mass with all these people at the beginning. If you ever run Chicago or have, you know your GPS watch really does not work. So the best thing I ever did, having read this on the internet prior to, was I purchased a pace band. You could also print out your pace chart and have it with you somewhere tucked away, because then all you have to do is look at the time elapsed on your watch and see what your splits are. I will say I was not super time driven on this race, given that I'm going for Marathon Maniacs and doing 3 races in 90 days. I wanted to complete it. That was my primary goal. However, I tend to get a little competitive with myself once I get into these races and try to pick up the pace at the end. We had great weather at the start, high 50s. It was very windy with gusts of up to 17 miles an hour, no surprise in Chicago. And by the end of the race, especially for those of us in wave two, it was 79-80 at the end. So it was actually significantly warmer than a lot of people would like. The first half I took off nice and fast, feeling, you know, really it was an easy pace, but I could tell I was moving along a little quicker than I probably was going to be able to sustain. So I got a handle on that, slowed down, made a quick stop to hug my cousin at mile 8. She manages a wine shop there, so I popped over to the sidewalk, and I found that having my husband and son at various points on the course was such a mood lift because you would see them and go give them a hug, and it just kind of carried you on for the next step of miles. I had read that mile 21 on, I mean, there's great energy on the course, I have to say. It's probably, this is by far the largest race I've ever done, and it, I can't imagine anybody better spectators, honestly. From mile 21 on, though, and it was somewhere around Chinatown to the end, I do remember a lot more wind and it getting a lot tougher and the course getting much more narrow and more congested. It became extremely hard to pass anybody, even if you wanted to. The temperature was rising. It was getting warm. They started handing out sponges with ice water, which I took every time I saw them, and just it made a huge difference. The aid stations were amazing. They were so, so well organized, and they lasted literally for blocks and blocks with water and Gatorade and everything that you would expect. So I was moving. I did the first third of the race, probably 40-20s, the second third of the race, 20-20s, and then as we're cruising into home in the final third, I moved back to 40-20s, and what I noticed at that point was a lot of people were walking, a lot of people were getting ill from the heat, and a lot of people were doing the death march, and so it was really a big mental boost, again, Galloway training, to be passing people, and I ended up having negative splits and some of my faster times for miles in those last 3 miles. So as I looked at my watch, I realized I was on target to beat my previous year's marathon time. And so, you know, having dedicated this race to my dad, I just thought of him going up and down the hallways in his hospital, as he put it, his own marathon. And I thought, you know what, Trisha, suck it up, run faster, you can do this. And so I got my PR, and it was just amazing. So thanks for listening this far. You can continue listening to my adventures in my last race, which will be next month at the end of November on Thanksgiving weekend. And I will be doing the Mississippi Coast Marathon down on the Gulf. And it's at Stennis Space Center. And probably no one has heard of this marathon. I think there are like 100 marathoners or so and they've also got a half, and they've got a 5K with it too. But it's fast, and I'm just hoping that hopefully we won't be like in the middle of a monsoon or hurricane or rain for all of my hours out there running. But anyway, again, highly recommend Chicago. Well, I don't know, I'll do it next year. It is definitely a race I would love to go back to because it was just really so much fun. Loved it. So thanks for listening. You all enjoy your extra mile.
Hello, Kevin, and all the extra mile audience. This is indeed a wet Wednesday run. I have been running for about an hour and a quarter now, just finishing off a 13 kilometer trail run, which took me across Mount Doug and then over via Lochside Trail to the Rivets Bog. I hope you're all well. This is definitely a typical fall day here, probably around 16 Celsius, and I'm hiking my way across Mount Douglas. Hiking as in power hiking. This is a lot of what I do when I'm out on the trails. But as I always say, our hearts are still pounding as we hike over the wet mounds of sod, rock, roots, and escarpments of Mount Doug. I have fallen here about 6 times. Not sure why. I think it's just the tired legs. Not picking up my feet enough. So, not to ramble for too long. This is my first submission for this month for the Extra Mile podcast. Looking forward to hearing from all my podcast buddies over the next few weeks. We might be looking forward to a show from Nigel one of these days. He kind of likes Christmas and New Year shows. I believe his birthday is on Christmas Day, which is the day before Jim's birthday. I think he's a Boxing Day baby. Alright. So as I start heading down these rocky little trails of mine, I will take this opportunity to wish you all, excuse me, that was my porridge. Actually, no, it wasn't. I still haven't eaten yet, and it's almost noon. Bad me. I ate quite a lot of lasagna yesterday. So bye-bye, everybody. Enjoy your run.
Hello, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Mark from Rochester, New York. And okay, the shaming has worked. I have not called in a very, very long time. You know, last time I called, I think I was giving you guys an update on my training for my first two ultra marathons a couple summers ago. And after that, you know, things kind of crashed and burned, had the back injury and all that kind of stuff. And it's been a long year to get back, but I am back. And I ran my comeback race, the Rochester Marathon, in September. And so this is kind of a race report and a training report and a life update report, all that stuff. The Comeback Marathon went okay. A local Fleet Feet store bought the rights to the race this year, and they changed the course drastically from what it used to be. And to say that there were some hills is an understatement. There were a lot of hills. And while I was very well trained for the race, I fell very short of reaching my goal of getting a time and then starting with a 3. I didn't quite do that. But I did manage to run my 4th fastest marathon. And I thought that was pretty cool, considering that a year ago on that date, I couldn't even walk. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty happy with that. It was a well-organized race. It was a beautiful day. You couldn't ask for better weather. Fleet Feet did a great job. Just loved it. I've already signed up for next year and try and get a little revenge. What else is going on? I have a couple more races. I have 3 more races for the rest of this year. I have a 5K on Halloween. I have a 4.4 mile turkey trot on Thanksgiving. And then in December, I'm doing It's a Wonderful Run, which is based off of It's a Wonderful Life, that movie. And it's pretty cool. I can't wait to do all of those. That's going to be a 5K, that last one. And I'm going to try and set some PRs with those times. I've been working really, really hard with my coach. Got a coach. That's been an awesome, awesome experience. She's really driven me to do some really hard training, running times and distances and stuff like that I never thought that I could do outside of a race. It's really opened my eyes up to there is a lot of value with getting a second opinion. You know, I'm not being self-trained all the time. There's definitely advantages to that, and I'm reaping that right now. She's worked really, really hard with me for a year now and brought me back to, I don't have any more back pain. You know, that's not the problem. It's just all the good training. You know, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And I'm not getting younger as the years go by, so it's just getting a little bit tougher. But other than that, next year I signed up to do something extremely crazy. It's called the 4 Seasons Challenge. That's put on by the local Fleet Feet store here. And what it is, it's a half marathon in the winter, one in the spring, one in the summer. And it can either end with another half marathon, a Rochester half marathon, or it can end with the full marathon. And I opted to end with the full marathon. So I've already got 3 half marathons and 1 full marathon, all for next year. That's pretty cool. And then I decided to bite the bullet, and I asked my coach to give me her honest opinion, and I think I'm going to really try to maybe get a Boston qualifying time. I don't know if that's going to be possible. That means cutting off like a half hour off my best marathon time. That's going to be really, really tough. Talk about running fast. But, you know, I think I'm at a time in my life where if I don't do it now, I might not ever do it. And if there's anything that stupid back injury taught me, it's that don't wait. You know, tomorrow something may happen where you may never run again. And, excuse me, a little emotional. Just being back has meant a lot. It has meant a lot. It is a gift. And for a long, long time, I took this for granted. And that was pretty foolish because I don't do that anymore. So I hope all of you are doing really, really well. I will try to be more dedicated with calling in. I will definitely get you guys some race reports on my remaining races for 2015 and going into 2016. Hope everybody is appreciating the fact that they can run because it's just a wonderful gift. Everybody enjoy your extra mile, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Kevin, and all of you extra milers. This is Steve Hailstone from southeastern Pennsylvania. It is October the 22nd, I believe, and I thought I would give an update since I missed the last couple of extra mile podcasts. So this is an update on a trail run that I run during the Runner's World Half Marathon weekend. This was a trail run. It was 3.8 miles. and there were 280 people who signed up for it. I think they calculated 230 or so finishers, so maybe some weren't able to make it. About half the race was filled with people who were running four events that weekend: the 3.8-mile trail run, a 5K, a 10K, and then the half marathon. So that was spread out over 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday last weekend. So the trail run, I set myself at the back of the pack and walked about the first quarter of a mile just because it was crowded, and trying to get 230 people on a single file beginning of the course. It did open up a little bit here and there, and then it was just a matter of getting into a pace that was comfortable and then passing people when you had the opportunity. There wasn't always a lot of good opportunity. It was a good technical trail with lots of rocks and roots, some uphills, pretty steep at times, and downhills. Some of the uphills I ended up hiking near the end. I just thought it was best to save my energy and wasn't moving too much slower than the folks who were running ahead of me. I enjoyed the downhills. It was like playtime. That's where I had most of my passing of others was on the downhill. Again, it was a really rocky course, and thankfully I didn't do anything to get hurt. I went into this race without a lot of training. I just have had such miserable feelings in my legs lately. I wanted to give them some rest, and so I didn't want to overdo it. I thought it was best to show up undertrained than injured. So that's what I did. Anyway, had a blast that weekend, and hope you all are having good runs these days as we change. Today is the last warm day, I think, of the fall, around 73 degrees, and then we head back down into more seasonable temperatures. So that's it from Steve, Southeastern Pennsylvania, October 22nd. Have a great extra mile.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is David from Southeastern Massachusetts, and I'm going to follow up my first submission with a weather report. Not that every submission needs a weather report, but this one just caught me out of the blue. Out for a cool-down walk with my canine, and out of nowhere, we're getting our first snowflakes of the year. It is October 18th. Nothing's going to stick on the ground. In fact, it doesn't even feel cold enough to snow. It was 28 degrees this morning when I went out for my run. It was cold. It was freezing then. Had to scrape the windshield. But now I'm out in the evening after my run, cooling down, nice easy walk. And out of nowhere, with the sun shining, it's like a sun shower, except instead of rain, it is snow. So, southern New England is getting a little taste of winter. I don't think it's going to last. It won't be slowing us down. But just thought I would share that with my friends from other parts of the country. And this one's for you, just Norm in South Central Florida. We've got a little bit of snow coming to New England. And that wraps up the weather report from Southeastern Massachusetts. Enjoy your run and have fun.
Hey there, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania. And I am recording this submission for you guys to give you a training update and a race update. So I'm on a extended walk break on my training run today. Wanted to record this. So, training update. Well, I am thankfully once again training for something. I had a rather extended period from probably spring until now where my running was in the doldrums. Familiar of the doldrums there, that area right around the equator where you can end up, and if you're in a boat and there's not a lot of wind, so if you're traveling by sail, you can kind of drift aimlessly until you can pick up a good wind to propel you in some direction or another. Well, that's really where my running has been, kind of in the doldrums. I went from somebody who probably ran, 35 to as many as 50 miles a week, down to somebody who some weeks ran 7. So it has been a long couple of months. It's probably been at least 4 or 5 that my running has just not been up to par. And part of that, though, is I started school again, and I just haven't had either the time or certainly the time to actually go to a race. So without that motivation of my next marathon coming up, it's been a challenge to get in the weekly miles like I used to. But all that is behind me now, because I have a race to look forward to. It is the Mississippi Blues Marathon, which will be on January the 9th, 2016. So just a little less than 10 weeks away from this taping. And I'm taping this on November the 4th. So I'm out right now doing a 6 or so mile training run. Nothing too hard, just building the miles back up. Although we are getting just incredible weather for early November here. Normal for us should be mid-50s. Well, it is about 2:30 in the afternoon. There's a nice breeze, but it is 76 degrees outside. I am in shorts and a tank top once again. And in the last 45 days anyway, I have been out here more than once in tights and cold weather gear. I think like 4 weeks ago, we had a day we were lucky to get above 43. And here it is, 76 degrees. Sun shining, not a cloud in the sky. Whew, love it. If we could lock this down, keep this through the end of February, I would not mind. But that won't happen in South Central PA. No siree. So, just have to enjoy this while it's here, because the cold weather will come. So, that's my update for you. I'm going to get back to my run. And you all enjoy your extra mile. Take care, everybody.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Shannon from Orlando, Florida, otherwise known as the Girls Got Soul. I'm actually driving to my parents' house right now. It's about 4 days out, actually a little less, from the New York City Marathon. And I'm actually driving with my birds in the back seat, so you may hear some chirping. I have not called in during this transition. For, I don't know how long ago I called in, so I guess I got lazy with that. Sorry about that. So the big day is around the corner here, and to say that I'm a bit nervous is an understatement. Physically, I'm not, I guess I'm not really nervous. It's, I've done the training. I actually did up to 29 miles 3 weeks ago, which is crazy. I never would have thought I would have done that, but I did. I actually ran, walked the 26, and then I did 3 miles, could have been slightly over that, as walking. So I did get, 29 miles of endurance, and which those of you also who followed the Jeff Galloway time goal, that's my pair of teen angels, so sorry. know that he recommends if you go up to 29 miles that it can actually improve your marathon time. So we'll see. I did get more hill work in this season than I have in previous seasons, but I definitely could have done more. Being in Florida and doing the New York race, it's kind of really difficult to be able to you know, duplicate that kind of elevation unless you get on a treadmill. And I'm not a treadmill runner. I love burning outside even when it's nasty heat, and I don't necessarily love the heat, but yeah. So, anyhow, like I said, I got up to 29 miles, and I did blog about it quite a bit on girlsgotsoul.com. So if you guys want to read any of that stuff, my blog has been pretty centric on New York City these days because it's my dream marathon and dream race. So, yeah. So, anyhow, I'm going to try to call in probably like the night before just so I can, you know, let you guys know how I'm feeling. And I'll definitely call in after the race to let you guys know everything went. But I'm really excited. This is my fifth marathon and probably my last. Of course, I say that and nobody believes me, but it's going to definitely be my last for at least the next season because I'm going to be at least a season off from doing poles because I need to give my body that break, and I do have a hernia disc in my back, so I might need to be taking care of that next year anyway. Yeah, I know I'm over probably 3 minutes at this point. Kevin, sorry about that. So, yeah, I hope everyone is having really awesome races and awesome training because all these races that have started up, and it's real exciting for us because this is a big season for everybody. And, yeah, so, I mean, that's been what's going on with me. It's all New York City all the time. Well, in Florida, anyway. Anyway, again, this is Shannon, otherwise known as the Girl's Got Soul from Orlando, Florida, and my two feathered creatures in the back seat, and I will call you guys back again while I'm in New York City. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Hi, gang. This is Carlos, the hiking jackal, testing out his new trail shoes on wet rock for the first time. Being a little cautious today because I don't think they're as good as the Saucony Kinvara trail shoe. These are the Brooks Pure Grit shoes that I bought last week. I think it was Thursday. So I've run in them 4 times since Thursday. I think I've run 6 times total since Thursday. Okay, climbing up to the top of Mount Douglas here in wet, drippy Victoria, BC. Actually, it's not raining at the moment, which is a real blessing, but it has been raining on and off most of the night, so I knew the rocks would be wet up here specifically so I could test these shoes. Now there's a rock face right here. Whoops. Yeah, not quite as good as the Saucony. But that's okay. I bought them because they felt good on my feet. I'm not always going to be climbing wet mountains. I'm going to try and keep this submission down to around 4 minutes, only because I'm expecting a lot of people to be submitting to Kevin's illustrious The Extra Mile podcast. I seldom get the name wrong nowadays. I always used to say Kevin and all his listeners at the Daily Mile, but he and I both use both services, the Daily Mile and the Extra Mile. So it's taken me, what, 3 years, Kevin? All right, normally I would be running this section, so let me get back to it. Okay, hi.
Bye.
I can see the antenna spire just up ahead of me. Taking a little goat trail to the left to get me to the antenna on time to take a picture. So I got to the summit. Let me just take a picture and head on my merry way down, down, down to Blenkinsop and the Lochside Trail. So this is Carlos, the running jackal, signing off on a Tuesday. Bye bye.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Tom calling from Carrboro, North Carolina, with a race report. And I just completed a couple of days ago the Anthem Richmond Marathon, which was my second marathon. And it was, I would recommend it for anybody who is looking to run a marathon, especially a first marathon. They call the Richmond Marathon America's friendliest marathon. And there is a reason why it earns the reputation that it does. The crowd support is pretty amazing. And it keeps you interested with, they have party zones and they have junk food stations at mile 16 and around 22. So you basically, it really is helpful and gets you, through the race. In terms of my run, I do the Galloway method, and I got some marching orders from Jeff to do, I would say, the first 5 miles to do a 30-25 and then switch over by mile five to what I did was a 45-30 and pick up the pace by an extra 15 seconds. So from a 12-45 pace down to a 12-30 pace, give or take a few seconds. And then by mile 20, I could do what I want. And I did the New York Marathon a lot slower. I didn't really think about time, and I really felt good at the end. I think it was kind of unusual because most people don't feel as strong as they did, like I did in New York, where I was kind of picking up the pace, but I think I reserved a lot more energy. And in New York, the day before, I rested a lot. In terms of Richmond, when I got there, the day before, I would say it was a little bit stressful trying to find places to eat and parking and getting up and moving around. And I really didn't settle down until towards about 5 o'clock. Five o'clock, I finally settled down. So in terms of that, I guess that might have caused me a little bit more problems the next day. And you know, maybe a little bit more walking around. So when I did get to mile 20, and the course is beautiful, and it goes all around different parts of Richmond, you know, the urban, and then it goes by the river, which is really pretty. And then I got to about, I was doing pretty well, and this is kind of typical for a lot of marathons. And I wouldn't say I hit the wall, because I don't think I hit the wall at all, but I got to the point at mile 20 where I couldn't keep up a pace, and I couldn't really keep up the pace I was keeping up. So instead of continuing the intervals, I just stopped looking at my watch and just tried to enjoy it as much as you can once you hit 20 miles and went to do 30-30. And even with that, and I would say it was a much harder marathon than my first, I ended up doing about 18 minutes faster than the New York Marathon. So I did it around a 5:37:28. So I was pleased with that, and it's kind of what was kind of expected. I was hoping to feel a little bit better because I did train up to the 26 miles, but, you know, marathons, as they say, are not easy. But we'll see what happens in the future. I don't have any marathons planned, but I did say to myself at mile 20 I would never do another one, but, you know, a couple of days later you're going, well, it's not terrible. I might consider it again. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is David from southeastern Massachusetts. I am calling with a race report, and this is a little experiment to see if the music can play in the background, but I'm sitting in an Irish pub listening to an Irish music session. One of the musicians is my teenage son. The reason I'm calling with my race report is that I am 1 week post-marathon, and I've been meaning to record this, but I guess what I wanted to say is I have great news, and my marathon on November 1st was a complete success. It was the Black Goose Marathon in Seekonk, Massachusetts, and everything that could possibly go right went right, and went according to plan, and I am happy to report that I ran a Boston qualifying time. I ran a 3:19 marathon and followed Chris Russell's marathon DQ plan and listened to you guys. You're some of my regulars on my long training runs. And it was 89 training runs to get myself to race day. And everything that just went well could have. Like, the weather was great. It was 50 degrees, gray, and drizzly, which to most everyone else might sound miserable, but to you and me, that sounds like a great day for a race. There was almost no wind, so that was great. It was minimal traffic. It was a nice small race. There were 140 people running the marathon and another 300 people running the half marathon, so the course was not crowded. There was enough people running my speed so that at least for the first 20 miles or so, I had people with me. I carried my own water bottle, so I had a 16-ounce bottle of Nunn electrolyte fluids with me the whole time. And actually, at the halfway point, I had friends there who handed me another water bottle. So I swapped out bottle one for bottle two. So I was basically self-sufficient on the fluids the whole race. But I probably picked up cups of water four or five times along the way. But really, my goal was to be completely self-sufficient. And I started with a goo before the race. I ate another goo at about 7 miles, another goo at about 16 miles. And pretty much was just trying to be self-sufficient so I didn't have to worry about anything on the course. Even though there was plenty of food and plenty of water on the course, I just wanted to kind of, everything that I could control, I wanted to be able to control, and I did. My pacing was great. I had as close to an even split as I could. My second half was 90 seconds slower than my first, but I attribute that more to the hills that were in miles 18 to miles 22 than there was to bad pacing. The pacing just went really, really well. So I'm super pleased. I couldn't be more happy. And I'm actually excited. This is a weird thing to be excited for, but in April 2017, I'll get to run Boston. And because I beat my qualifying time by 6 minutes, I'm confident that I'll be able to make it into the lottery, even though, you know, it's not automatic when you run a BQ that you're going to automatically get in, but 6 minutes should be comfortable gap to work with. So I hope all of your races are going well. I hope everyone's enjoying this mild November that we're seeing, and enjoy your races, enjoy your training, and enjoy your extra mile.
Kevin and all you extra milers, this is Shannon from Orlando, Florida, otherwise known as the Girls Got Soul. I'm calling in my race report, sort of a recap from the New York City Marathon. It's actually a few days later. I haven't even written my blog post up yet as I'm calling in, because I just am kind of trying to compile all my thoughts and it's a lot, you know, it's overwhelming, and it's the biggest race I've ever done, which I've said that before, and it's just, this is a lot going on in my brain right now, so I wanted to call in, though, and
least give you guys a brief update on that, and then let you guys know that you can go to my blog. Probably by the time this does publish, and there should be some stuff up there about that. Basically, I got to New York on Thursday mid-morning, and I flew into Long Island Islip Airport because my family, they actually live in the Patchogue Riverhead area of Long Island, for anybody who's familiar with the island up there. And so we were staying with them, my mom and I, actually, she came up with me. We were staying with them every night except for Saturday night, which would be obviously the evening before the race, and I would need to be in the city to get to the race start. So on Friday, my mom and I had gotten on a train, and we went to the city, Manhattan, and the race expo is actually at the Javits Center, which I had never been to before. It's quite large, and I believe they have, like, a lot of Comic-Cons there, like the New York City Comic-Con and probably tons of other conventions in the city have them there. It's walking in there, it's like I said, it's huge, and I already knew it would be a big expo because everyone told me it would be very large, but I don't think I was still mentally prepared for, you know, physically, well, completely prepared, rather, for everything that it was. It was huge, and it took me a few minutes to find out where to pick up my my bib. And once I did, I'm actually surprised I did not cry. I was actually smiling, probably because I was a bit out of it. So, I mean, I was excited, you know, but there was still a lot that hadn't set in yet. Then we went right through, which would be the first thing you go through, is the official merchandise section of the New York City Marathon, and that was a zoo, and that's actually putting it mildly. It was chaotic as heck. I mean, having been to many Disney expos, and I've only done a couple Disney races, but since I live in Orlando, I do go to the expos quite frequently, and this was those expos are nothing like the New York City Marathon Expo. I would assume that maybe Boston and Chicago might be quite large like that, but this was something I was not prepared for. So I did look through, you know, that sort of stuff, and I ended up picking up a few things. And the biggest thing I wanted during the weekend was an official jacket, and which I did pick up, and that was my biggest treat for myself because it was quite expensive, as you all, I'm sure, could probably figure that out. And so I picked up that. I got a couple other shirts and things and checked out the rest of the expo once I was finally able to get out of that area. And then we went back after having some lunch and stuff. We went back to Long Island. And then on Saturday, I actually went back early on Saturday by myself because I was taking the marathon route tour, which is actually by motor coach. Yeah, and actually looking at the time, I'm sorry, this is going to be over 3 minutes, Kevin. Sorry about that. So so I ended up doing that with a friend of mine from my Orlando Galloway group. She's in a different pace group than me, but we met up beforehand at Penn Station, and we headed down there. And, you know, it was a four-hour tour, and I remember being questioning the whole thing when I signed up for it because I was not initially going to sign up for it because it was $45. But I think it was really worth the money that we paid for it because there was quite a lot of things that calmed me down from, you know, a lot of nervousness. And it was a lot of information about the course and a lot of the history. And our tour guide was actually someone who was born in, I believe, Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken. She was born in Brooklyn, and so she knew quite a bit about the history, not of every borough, but she knew quite a lot of information. So, and she had run the New York City Marathon in 2006. So, I mean, she was definitely knowledgeable about the route, and we got to see pretty much everything. I mean, a couple times you had to veer off, and you couldn't get on the exact course due to, it wasn't really vehicle friendly. It was more, you would be going in the opposite direction. You might be going down a one-way road, and obviously we couldn't go that. But, and then, So that, after that, my friend and I, we actually checked out the expo again because she had some time before her family came in, and I got to take some more photos because I did not take enough, as many photos as I wanted. I mean, I couldn't do some of the fun photo booths and silly things that come along with these expos, and actually got a couple more merchandise things because things that became on sale. Which, of course, you know, if I knew that the employee might not have picked up anything, but hey, you can't always predict that sort of thing, and you wouldn't want to miss out on something you really wanted. So that afternoon, my mom came over from on the train, and we went and checked the City Hotel, and it was a nice hotel. We stayed at the hotel Dubuque, and it's it was on 103rd 29th Street. It's like a very old brownstone hotel, and it is only 54 rooms. So if you're looking for something kind of small and cute, it was definitely that. It obviously wasn't cheap because nothing's really cheap in the city, which I quickly learned in one night. It was like over $300. So it's definitely not cheap. So the next morning I got up and found my way down to the subway, which is a little over a block away. Got on the subway and ended up meeting up with, fortunately, a lot more runners, and we headed over to get the Staten Island Ferry, which, unfortunately, the ferries were behind. So despite getting there at 8 o'clock, just before 8 o'clock, and I did have an 8 a.m. ferry, but I knew there was an 8:15, so I wasn't too concerned. I figured I could get on the 8:15, but we ended up waiting probably about an hour and a half or so, maybe just a little. But by the time we basically got to Fort Wadsworth, because you have to get on a ferry, and then you get on a bus, which actually takes you from the Staten Island Ferry to Fort Wadsworth, which is where the starting area villages are, and the corrals start from that area. So it was about 10 o'clock by the time that happened. So obviously, it's not the most comforting thing, and I was actually meeting another friend. So she was quite nervous because she's with a charity, and she had been there since like about 6 in the morning. So yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking when you don't have much time beforehand, because I don't like to have a ton of time, but I do definitely like to have some time before my race starts to, you know, obviously use the bathroom, you know, do all that sort of fun jazz that, you know, comes with that. And so we ended up running to the corral, getting in, and we still waited for about 10 or 15 minutes. But, and then before we knew it, they were telling us that our corral was going to be starting. It was at 11 a.m. start, which is very late. And, you know, for those who know New York, it's, you know, when you're in Lost Corral, you start very late. So before you knew it, we were starting, and Frank Sinatra was playing New York, New York. And we headed out the gate and up the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. And the start of the race had begun. I was having a lot of trouble from the get-go. I mean, I was excited, but I don't know whether it was just because of all the stress, and I had had a headache for pretty much the entire time before I left for New York and through the entire time I was up there. That or the fact that I felt rushed once I arrived at Fort Wadsworth. But when we started running on the Verrazano, I just wasn't feeling myself, and my friend, she was my running buddy. She was actually very gracefully trying to push me through, and it took a little bit of time when we got off the bridge and we started getting into where all the awesome spectators were. I gradually started feeling a little better, and once I started, you know, embracing the crowds and you know, they all had their hand a lot, and they were giving high fives, that sort of thing. It was definitely an amazing experience, you know, and, you know, just to kind of close this up, because like I said, it has been a while, sorry about that. It just was an overwhelming day, and I will say that the city of New York is amazing, and I, you know, how awesome they truly, truly were when we were out there, because they just embraced every runner from obviously the front of the pack, which I assume was a thing, all the way to us back of the packers who were not doing well. I mean, I did not do well at all as far as my time is concerned. I'm disappointed in that, but, you know, that my equal was finished, so I definitely did finish. And
they're all out. I mean, we did lose some crowds in certain spots, but, you know, there was people still out there, you know, and it was just amazing. And they would offer you bananas, and they were cheering you on, telling, you know, they would call out your name, and I was wearing a Team 413 shirt, and they were calling out Team 413, and, you know, all the runners around us, we were all being, everyone was being awesomely supportive of each other, and it was just an amazing experience. And, you know, despite being in how much pain I was, and even having, on point, having my calf muscle tighten up on me and having the worst pull of my life, I mean, these people were just, I mean, the only thing I can even compare it to, and that's not even close to it, would be like the Donna, as far as the amount of crowds that are out there, because this is like multiplied. I mean, you have like 2 million spectators in New York City. So, I mean, they push you all the way through, and then we finally got into Central Park, and you do come out briefly out of Central Park, and you go back in Central Park, and that's where the finish of the race is. So, and the volunteers throughout, and especially at the finish line, when I started like immediately crying as soon as I crossed the finish line, I just broke down. And they were amazing. They put the medal on, they gave me hugs, and they made sure I was okay. And I had, you know, medics to make sure I was okay to move, and they, you know, wrapped you in a Mylar. And, you know, they are just, you know, top notch. So, despite being a difficult race, it was probably going to be one of the most memorable of my life. And as of right now, I don't plan on doing any more marathons. It was number 5 in my dream race, so I foresee it as being it. So I will finish it off there, and hopefully you guys will come check out the vlog, and I'll have more on there if you're interested in hearing more about it. So hearing me talk on and on and on and taking up all the time on the podcast. Again, thanks, Kevin, and all you extra milers. I hope you guys are having a great run. Okay, bye-bye.
So what do you think, huh? Pretty darn inspiring, isn't it? I mean, I led the show off with a happy Thanksgiving, and now you see why foolishly I have to remind you all. I say foolishly because I really don't need to remind you, but this running thing, whether you're running a race or, as my buddy Jim says, just training for old age, it's not to be taken lightly. Pretty important part of our lives. I mean, think about this. Mark Sands was barely able to walk just a year ago. Did you hear what that animal's up to? By the way, Mark's got a really, really good YouTube page. And I'll share that link in the show notes. Chris Russell, he's an animal anyway, but he's fought through some AFib issues, and I can relate to that. And David used Mr. Russell's advice to not just BQ, but to BQ by quite a bit. My girlfriend Shannon got to knock off the New York City Marathon from her bucket list. I'm so proud of you, Shannon. And Trisha, oh, God bless you, and God bless your dad. Worked through her father's heart attack and still was able to do what she did. My gosh. Inspiring, huh? Thankful, huh? So, as the weather turns cold, and when my alarm goes off at 5:20, 5:25 in the morning, and the last thing I want to do is get up and get outside, I will try very hard to remember what all of you have gone through to get where you're at these days. So I had a question before I got out of here. My buddy JD mentions how sometimes he needs a race to point to for his motivation. His running dropped off to, what do you say, like 7 miles during 1 week. But he's got a lot to point to now, and the guy's kicking some butt. Do you guys need a race to point to? Or is there something else that motivates you to get out the door? I don't really race much anymore. In fact, this half coming up will be my first and only actual race that I've gotten into this year. But I have other things that motivate me. How about you all? And speaking of races, Thanksgiving, I'm only guessing this, but Thanksgiving might be the biggest running day of the year. I mean, there's turkey trots everywhere. And I've got an idea for those of you who aren't already entered in one. Our buddy Adam Tinkoff over at the Slow Runners Club has put together a virtual turkey trot. It's for November the 26th. And get this, you run any place, any distance. So guess what? You're already well trained for this race. What do you think of that? You can check out the Facebook page at the Slow Runners Club for more information. But I'll link to that in the show notes as well. So like I said, less than 3 weeks out from my half at Jeff Galloway 13.1, the weekend of December 11th, 12th, and 13th down in Atlanta. And we still have room for the meetup with Jeff. So if you're so inclined, send me a note, will you? That's all I got for today. Once again, thanks for downloading the show, giving us the last hour of your life. Thanks to Squish Bands, by the way, our amazing sponsor. And I think I'll be giving quite a few of those away at the Jeff Galloway 13.1. You know what? I'm thankful for all of you all. Y'all take care and enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.